The word today is Our Father. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. When Jesus was asked by his disciples to teach them to pray, he taught them the Lord's Prayer. The 11th chapter of Luke records the words Jesus used. He also taught them some additional truths about prayer. Here from our archives with a review of these teachings is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Our Father.
One of the glorious privileges we have as the children of God is the privilege of prayer. Prayer is taught all the way through the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. Now, one of the things that we want to devote some time on in this program and perhaps even next week, I'll see how far I get this week with our broadcast, but I believe it might take 2 weeks to cover it thoroughly, is the prayer that Jesus taught us when the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They had noticed that John the Baptist had taught his disciples how to pray, and so they wanted Jesus to do the same thing. And so they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus, this is in the 11th chapter of St. Luke, Jesus says, when you pray, say this. And then he taught them what we now call the Lord's Prayer. Now, one of the things that I've noticed in my travels as I visit different states, especially on vacations, and visit different churches, is that very often people are just rattling off the Lord's Prayer, saying it very, very quickly, almost without no thought. And of course, that means it's not really prayer. It's just a recitation. It's just rote memory. And as a result, there's no heart in it. There's no meaning in it. I can remember being at a church where they tried to pray the prayer this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And they just kept going and going, and I thought, my goodness, no one in their right mind can keep up with that. Just take one of those phrases, for instance. Take the request, thy kingdom come. Now, you can't even be thinking about what all is involved there and what you're supposed to be asking God to do as you're rattling off those words very rapidly. Nobody in their right mind could think of all that and have their heart in it because, for instance, the kingdom of God is divided into three categories. There is the kingdom of power, by which we remember that God, who is in heaven, rules and controls all things. He is in control. And we ask him in this prayer that his kingdom would come. Please, God, do on earth whatever you want done, just like you do in heaven. Let that be the way it's done in our lives. Now, you're saying that, but you're saying more than that. You're also saying about God's kingdom of glory. Now, the kingdom of glory is the Christian church. And so you're also praying, and God, please let your kingdom come, let your kingdom expand, let people join the Christian community, let them become part of the Christian church. You're saying that when you say the Lord's Prayer. But even beyond that, the kingdom of God is also the kingdom of glory. And the kingdom of glory is the heavenly kingdom when we will be eternally with God in heaven. Now, we're really saying in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, Lord, please come quickly, just like they say at the end of the Bible, please, Lord, come quickly. We are expecting your return. We are awaiting your return, and we're anxious for your return so that we can live with you eternally in heaven. Now, you can't possibly say all those thoughts and all those heartfelt meanings when you're rattling, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know, we just can't possibly think that rapidly and that correctly. So I believe one of the first things I want to say to all of our listeners today, when you say the prayer that Jesus taught us, what we call the Lord's Prayer, or some people call it the Our Father, because that's the way the prayer begins, Our Father. When you're saying that, pray it slowly, slowly and thoughtfully, each phrase, devoting your heart and devoting your mind to the meaning and to the supplication that you are making of God, that He would be with us on all those different aspects. Don't just rattle it off by memory while your mind is wandering somewhere else or your eyes are looking at something else. Let it be a heartfelt, thoughtful prayer. So pray it slowly and thoughtfully. You know, another thought about prayer before we get into the prayer itself is that all pagan religions have some type of prayer. It's been of interest to me that many of the pagan religions do not sing. I think that's rather interesting because the Christian church has always sung. I happen to be a Lutheran pastor, and Lutherans are pretty well known for their singing, not only of the Psalms. We sometimes sing and chant the liturgy, at least we used to. You know, 40, 50 years ago, when I first entered the ministry, I chanted the communion liturgy. Well, nowadays, we've become so modern, I suppose, that we don't do that anymore. And as a result, we speak most of those words. But we would chant them. We would sing them, just like the Old Testament people sang the Psalms. The book of Psalms was the hymnal of the Old Testament people. So there are many ways to pray. We talk about the speed of the prayer. It should be something that lets you reflect and think about what it is that you're saying. But there also ought to be a commitment to the meaning. It ought to be somber. It ought to be sober, obviously. Your mind ought to be focused on what it is you're saying. And in that context, I go back to what many of the pagan churches do. You know, the pagans have what they call prayer wheels. This is a little cylinder, usually round, and it's usually hollow. People write out a prayer and they put it into the cylinder. Then they put it on a stick, and this stick is something that they twist in their hand. They do a twisting motion and they put a weight on it to help it spin, and this prayer circle, this prayer machine, whatever you want to call it, this prayer wheel, turns. And as it turns, these people believe that that prayer is being said. Once every time it turns around, they believe that prayer is being said. Well, of course, it's a bunch of nonsense. It's silly. I can remember going to some monasteries and some places of pagan religions in China, in India. They would have bushes and trees, and they would have little pieces of cloth, sometimes paper, and they would write a prayer, and they would put this prayer into a little hammock, into a little piece of cloth or a little piece of bag or something like that, and then they'd put a little rock in there, and then they'd tie it shut so that when the wind came, the wind would blow this, and the rock would give it a little momentum, and the prayer would swing back and forth in the wind. And they actually thought that each time it went back and forth, it was saying a prayer. Again, utter nonsense. There's nothing to that at all. It's ridiculous. Now, the Bible says that some people are misguided because they believe they are heard by their much speaking, by how many words they use and so on. And the Bible makes it clear that is also nonsense. That is not what gets the attention of God. Now, you have to be a little careful on this subject because in the 11th chapter of Luke, where Jesus is talking about prayer, he talks about persistent prayer. He describes a situation in which a man has a visitor coming, and the visitor comes at midnight. That's a strange time at midnight, but that's when the visitor came, and so he felt the house owner felt he had to serve him a meal. He had to give him something to eat. Well, he doesn't have anything. They used all their food for that day. They baked for one day, and that day was over. So he went to a neighbor and tried to borrow 3 loaves of bread. This is described in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And the neighbor is very upset because he had shut his door, and he reminds his fellow neighbor, "You shouldn't be disturbing me. You shouldn't be knocking on my door because it's shut. And that means we're done for the day. We're closed for the day. And my children are even sleeping here." Now, it tells this story, and then it says, however, if the guy keeps pounding on the door and keeps demanding some help, eventually the guy will get up and say, "Well, you've disturbed everyone. The kids are awake now and everything. So here's your loaves of bread." In other words, just to get rid of him. There's a story in the Bible also about a judge that had a woman coming back, pestering, and finally, to get rid of her, he helped her. So there is this warning that you should not be saying things over and over again meaninglessly, because that's useless, it's pointless. And you should be diligent, you should be urgent. You remember St. Paul went to Jesus three times and made a request and asked God to deliver him from this malady, from this problem that he had. And finally, God says to him, "Okay, you've come to me three times. Now I'm going to give you the answer. Please don't ask any more about this, because the answer is no. I am not going to give you that healing that you're looking for." And so you have to be very pointed and very direct about what you're saying. God is not opposed to earnest, zealous, repetitious prayer. He wants us to be meaning it, and he wants us to be fervent and desiring it with intensity so that we keep at it. On the other hand, we should never think, just like the ridiculous prayer wheels and the little rock swinging with the prayer note in the hammock of that piece of paper or that piece of cloth, as though that's prayer. That is not prayer. That's ridiculous. It's meaningless. So you have to draw a contrast. God wants us to be diligent and earnest, but not repetitious just for the sake of rattling and rattling on and on and on. So be careful with prayer, and like I thought at the beginning, we're going to spend next week's program on this same subject where we can learn more about prayer. In the meantime, read the two places, Matthew and Luke, where it gives us the Lord's Prayer. God bless you, and make sure you turn to God in that special favorite thing of prayer.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.